So, yep, last sock. I'm here for a few hours to like pray and talk and hang out and swim. If you want, again, I love praying. It's exciting. But yes, and Jonathan's talking tonight. I'm really bummed that I'm missing it. Sounds like it's really, really good. But yeah, we're doing John 21 today, which is like one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I'm gonna read it and then we're gonna go ahead and talk about it. This is John 21. And this is like after Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he's like appeared to the disciples a few times, and he like breathed the Holy Spirit onto them. He was like, now you can like do great things and stuff. So after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped to work, and threw himself in the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they came out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this is the really important part, so listen up. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to them, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Clouds in the sky. And God, we just invite you into this day. I'm just so glad that we can start the day by coming before you and hearing from your word. Pray that you would be opening our hearts and just moving in each of us to bring the things to mind that you want to teach us, have us know. So thanks, Father. And we Okay, so we find Peter at the beginning of this chapter when he's pretty much like thrown in the towel. He's probably an emotional wreck. Peter had sworn his allegiance to Jesus right before he died. He told Jesus that he would lay down his life for him. He would go the extra mile. None of the other disciples said this. But instead of thanking him for his devotion, Jesus told them that he was going to betray him. Not once, but three times. And he did. He ran away just like everyone else when things got violent in the garden with Jesus, from the man that had been his teacher, his Lord, and his friend. And Jesus just took it and he died. So now that Jesus had been risen from the dead, he's like popping in and out of locked rooms, and he's talking about leaving the earth again. And this is someone that Peter has just given 3 years of his life to, completely. He's always with Jesus for these past 3 years, and the next step is really unsure. So Peter goes back to his old life. He and six other disciples were hanging out, probably staring at the walls and wondering if Jesus was going to show up again. And Peter's just like, I've had enough. And he like rallies everyone up and they go fishing all night, which is what they did to make money before Jesus called them. And so they go, and come morning, again after like 8 hours of fishing, they catch nothing. Seems to be a theme in Peter's life, catching nothing, and Jesus providing some stuff. But they're probably feeling like, dang, I don't have a leader anymore, I don't know what's going on, and I'm like a failure at what I thought I was good at, what I thought I could fall back on. So it's pretty bleak for Peter and the disciples. And I think a lot of times we are not unlike Peter. I think there are times when we have basically like betrayed Jesus, when there's major sin in our life, and it feels like I thought I was like over this, I thought I was done with this, and now I'm in this place again. So why even keep going? I'm just gonna go back to doing what I was doing before. Kind of what we're talking about last night, about like not believing in ourselves and not believing that God is able to like go through those things with us. It's not a good feeling. We've been there before. We see Jesus, but he comes and he finds his disciples who have given up and who are tired and hungry after a wasted night. And what does he do? He doesn't like ask questions. He doesn't like yell at them. He's like, what the heck are you doing out there? Why aren't you like telling everyone that I've risen and I'm like still alive? Which is, I mean, seems like that would be the obvious thing to do. Instead, he like finds fish for them to catch. I don't know how he does them. It's like a little fish call or something. But he finds so many fish that their nets are overflowing, and then he makes them breakfast. So I think the first thing we can learn from this passage is that Jesus comes to us when we are depressed and feel like failures, and when we're angry and hurt and full of sin and crap. He takes care of us and he pursues us. He doesn't yell at us about what we're doing wrong, or he doesn't try to give us like all sorts of like advice or tell us what to do. He is just there with us. He feeds us breakfast. I think sometimes the best friends that we have just sit with us and listen when we're upset. It's like one of the worst things when you're like really angry and you like tell someone and they're like, okay, this is what you need to do to like move on. And it's like, that's not helpful. And I think Jesus is not that kind of friend. He's the kind that just sits with us. And we see him doing that for his disciples. So I don't know what kinds of burdens you're carrying this morning, what anxieties or failures or frustrations or sin you're holding on to, even what you're dreading going back to tomorrow. But I want to challenge you this morning to invite Jesus to sit with you in that. Challenge you to be honest with him and tell him what's going on. So when Peter realizes it's Jesus, when he's in the boat, he's like so excited. This is like one of my favorite pictures of like Peter's relationship with Jesus. He just like sees him, the other disciple like tells him that it's Jesus, and he's like, he like puts on his clothes because you're not supposed to be like naked around your master. He like throws himself in the water and he like swims toward Jesus. I'm just like really excited about that. And I often pray that I would love Jesus like that, to like be like so abandoned to like wanting to be with Jesus, that I would throw myself in the water. But yeah, after the disciples eat the breakfast that Jesus made for them, and I bet this was like an incredible breakfast because it's Jesus, we have this like brutal exchange between Jesus and Peter. And I like cringe when I read it like every time. Peter like asked Jesus, Jesus asked Peter like 3 times, do you love me? And this is very strongly reminiscent of when Peter betrays Jesus. And I think, Jesus in these questions cuts right to the heart of what's going on. So I think Peter is still reeling from betraying Jesus. Jesus asked Peter this question 3 times, like I said. And Peter had betrayed Jesus 3 times in a row. People had asked him, like, oh, do you know that man? Like, oh, you were with him in the garden. And he's like, no, I like swear to God I wasn't. 3 times. And then Jesus like asked him 3 times, do you love me? I can imagine like Jesus asking him just like once, like, do you love me? Would have been like, yeah, Jesus, I do. I'm really sorry about what happened. But Jesus asked Peter 3 times. It says that Peter's grieved. He's really sad after Jesus asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? I think Peter's realizing that his actions don't back up what he's saying. He's saying that he loves Jesus, but he said that he didn't know him. He didn't even know him. So he appeals to Jesus knowing everything. He says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Says, Jesus, you know the deepest part of me, and you know that I love you even if everything that I do says otherwise. And there's like all sorts of crazy stuff going on with the Greek words in this passage, but there's not time for that. But if you want to talk about it more, let me know, because I love talking about it. But what Jesus does after each of these questions is that he gives Peter these commands about taking care of his flock and protecting his flock, and then he predicts how Peter's going to die for Jesus. I think this signals that he really trusts Peter, even after everything that has happened between them. He trusts him with taking care of his sheep and his flock. And his sheep and his flock are like us, and they're like the people that Jesus died for. And Jesus says, Peter, yeah, I know that you love me, and I know your heart, and I trust you enough to put the future of my church and the salvation of my loved ones in your hands. This is pretty incredible. Jesus tells Peter that he's going to be faithful to the end, even to death, and Peter knows that this is going to happen because Jesus told Peter that he was going to betray him, and he was like, there's no way that's going to happen, but he did. So I think even though this exchange is super painful, I think Peter comes out of it way more confident about who he is and about what Jesus has called him to than ever before. He's more sure of his love for Jesus and Jesus' love for him than he has ever been before, and he knows and he trusts that Jesus will love him even when he admits to his deepest faults. So what this passage is saying to us is that Jesus loves us enough to go through every sin, every grudge we hold against him, every hurt that we have, every wound that is bleeding in our hearts, not because he wants to shove it in our face, but because he doesn't want there to be an ounce of shame or guilt between you and him. He doesn't want there to be an ounce of shame or guilt in between you and him. And he loves you enough to not just say, oh yeah, forget it, it's fine, it's nothing when we mess up, because in all reality, it isn't fine. And I think that, at least for me, when I mess up, I like hold on to that a lot, and I'm like, I have to make up for it somehow. And if that thing isn't addressed, then yeah, it just doesn't work out. So one way that I have kind of felt like a failure this year, and I'm still like looking for God's grace. So it's a little like, oh, I don't really know how to share this story, but so there was like a situation with this guy, and like I really felt like I liked him. And I really felt like God was like, you need to tell him that you like him. And so I did. He was like, oh, I kind of like you too. And so we kind of like, whatever. Like dated for like a month or so, and we were like, oh yeah, we're not sure where this is gonna go. And it was like right around Christmas break and Thanksgiving, so we had a bunch of time off where we weren't seeing each other, and like I had way too much time to think, and I basically like freaked out, and I was like, shoot, what am I doing? Like, I don't know if I like him that much. And I think like I did stop liking him, but I feel like I handled it really poorly. And so when we came back to break, I was like, I think this is done. And I think that, like, I really hurt this guy, and I think, I don't know if it was the right thing to do, I don't know if that was, like, the best thing, and I think I still feel, like, guilty about it, because I don't know, and it still kind of freaks me out. But I think, like, over the past couple of weeks, Jesus has been, like, bringing up the situation to me, like, over and over again, and, like, just like, oh, I don't want to think about that, like, I thought it was done, but, yeah, I think that's a way that Jesus is, like, pushing through that, like, stuff that I hate thinking about, and I hate, like, doing because he loves me, and he wants me to be free from the, like, clenched up feeling that I get whenever I even, like, think about it. But yeah, at the very end of this passage, we see Peter, like, really uncomfortable with all the focus being on him. He, like, points back. He's this, like, other disciple, John, is following them. He's like, what about John? Is he gonna, like, die this painful death too? Just, like, shifting the focus away from him and, like, what Jesus has just said to him to follow him. And I think we're like this too a lot of the time. We hate having Jesus's eyes focused on us and on our hearts and on the places that hurt us the most. But we really have to go through this, because without facing the, like, scariest, most painful parts of our lives, we're never gonna be free from them. And we can't face them alone, and we won't, because Jesus promises us his presence every step of the way, and his love and kindness and patience with us, and his grace. So we're gonna have a few minutes to just do that, to sit with Jesus and ask him to, like, speak truth to us in the places that hurt. Then we're gonna, like, sing one song. So don't worry about what the person next to you is doing, because this really is just between you and Jesus. The call to follow is made to you, and not to, like, collectively you, it's to, like, individually you. I know some of us have a hard time sitting still for a few moments, but God really loves to work in these, like, still small moments. And I don't know what Jesus is putting on your heart or what this passage is reminiscent of, but I want to ask you again, are there ways that you have really messed up? Are there things that you're ashamed of or that you hate talking about or even thinking about? Maybe you've been addicted to porn or drugs or sex or gossip or whatever it is. Maybe you can't forgive someone. Or maybe you've been trying to get rid of, like, your pride and selfishness for forever, and you just can't. And it comes back again and again, and you feel like you just can't face Jesus. So again, yeah, I don't know what these things are, and they're between you and Jesus. It's not my business to know. But I do know that whatever you're thinking about right now, it's nothing Jesus has not seen before, and he died for those things, that we might be set free and that we might know the power of his love. And he absolutely, like, hates that these things are a barrier between you and him, because he's been waiting with open arms literally for forever. And he wants to speak love and grace to you right now. But Jesus has brought you for a reason, every single one of you. And I know that because I was, like, praying for this trip, and I was like, I really want 40 people to come, and there's, like, 41 here. One extra for bonus. So I think that, like, each one of you, God brought you here for a reason, and he wants you to be here. He's pursuing you, and he wants you to go through this, and he wants to go through it with you, because he only wants love and freedom and joy to exist there, not shame. So yeah, we're gonna have, like, 8 to 10 minutes. Go ahead and ask yourself, what are the things that create walls of shame and mistrust between me and Jesus? And like I said, be honest. You can trust Jesus. And ask Jesus to be with you and to speak truth and grace. So I'm going to pray for us. You guys can, like, stay on the boats or go just, like, on the shore right behind the boats. Don't go off very far, because, again, this isn't going to be too long. And then Nolan's going to play a song for us to come back together, and you can just come back if you want to sing, or you can stay where you are and then come back for the games. But yeah, like yesterday, this isn't a time to, like, hang out with people around you. This is, like, a time for you and Jesus to be together. So yeah, and again, I know this gets into, like, really messy parts of our lives. So if there are things that are coming up that are hard, I really encourage you to talk to someone that you trust. And pray with them. I think one of the ways that I receive God's love is through the words of other people. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then you guys can bounce. Father, thanks that you do promise us that when we are weak, you are strong, Lord. And this gets into really weak areas of our lives, Lord, and the things that I think just hound us. Father, and I know that I need your patience with me and your love for me as I think about the things that I am ashamed of and ways that I have failed. So, Father, I pray that you would be with me and that you would be with each and every person here as we go to be with you. And I pray that you would be just speaking your grace to each of us.